at 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Dallas County Health and Human Services has confirmed 9 people have died of the flu this season so far in Dallas County. And according to Walgreens, Texas has the most flu activity in the country. Of the top 10 metro areas for flu activity, 9 are in Texas. Edward Dominguez is an infectious disease specialist at Methodist Dallas Medical Center. He explains why the state might be seeing so many flu cases.
It's been cold here, but not cold enough for people to remain in their homes. The flu is spread most efficiently, not really by breathing and coughing and sneezing, although that's obviously very important. It's spread most efficiently by touch, by contact.
During milder Texas winters, people tend to still frequent places like the mall and church, which means a lot more people and a lot more contact. Older adults, individuals with chronic health conditions, pregnant women, and young children are more vulnerable to the flu. T.C. Broadnax is wrapping up his first year as Dallas City Manager. Heading into year 2, Broadnax has $1 billion to spend thanks to a bond election last fall. He has a new police chief, and he's replaced a lot of the city's top brass, while potholes and rental bikes pile up across Dallas. He talked with KERA's Rick Holter at City Hall for our Friday conversation.
You were the first person hired from outside Dallas as city manager in at least a half century. Council member after council member talked about needing a change agent in the job. Do you feel like you've delivered?
I think so. I think there's been some adjustment to the reality of what change really is, and the fact that you do have someone from the outside that is maybe thinking a little bit differently and asking a lot more questions about why we do things the way we do them.
You have done a lot of hiring. A new police chief, Renee Hall, a new animal services director. You said that in City Hall today, quote, there are a lot of people who are a little uncomfortable. That makes it sound like a little bit of an uneasy place to work.
I think people should always have something in the back of their mind asking the question, am I doing a good enough job? And never really resting on their laurels. And so I think there are a lot of people still, one, trying to figure me out, trying to see if the change I'm talking about is real, if it is going to stick. I don't think it's a stressful place to work, no more than it was prior than I got here. But I think the expectation and the accountability levels and meter have been raised. But I think if your focus is on customer service and providing the types of service that should have been provided all along, then you should not feel uneasy at all.
A year in, are you comfortable?
Never.
Housing and homelessness have been flashpoint issues in the last year. Several service providers have accused the city of trying to criminalize homelessness, and you have had to back off some panhandling policies. Do those critics have a point?
No, not at all. I've at least made it clear that obviously homelessness is not a crime, but some of the activities, whether it's safety, sanitary conditions, or unsanitary conditions that are being produced by people experiencing homelessness, are the things that we've got to try to address while at the same time trying to provide and ensure that we've got available shelter space or the more long-term types of wraparound services and housing options for people, which are not plentiful in this community. Part of the problem has been is the frustration, I think, for years of concerns about it and people feeling like not much is being done. We've got to really plan and be more methodical and have a strategic approach to how and what we're doing.
When we talked last year, we talked a little bit about the housing situation in West Dallas. The new buildings going in there look pretty high end, and that's just a slice of what a lot of people see as an affordable housing crisis. And they say the city hasn't done enough. What are you doing to change the tide on this?
We're developing a housing strategy that will hopefully come to our city council by at least no later than the end of March that will help lay out how we hope to address the issues that we've had with a lot of our inadequacy and the affordability of housing, as well as deal with gentrification and other kinds of things. We don't have a housing policy now and don't have a strategy. We'll have that. That will be the precursor for an economic development strategy that will come probably 3 months after that.
We've talked a lot about the issues that are ongoing in the city. There's one thing that just in the last couple of months, just about everybody in town has noticed, and that's the blizzard of bike share bikes. How will the city get a handle on this?
One of the things we've always been concerned about, at least me particularly, has been the impeding nature of some of the bikes in our rights of ways, particularly for people with disabilities and just people who want to traverse along our sidewalks. And so that's been a concern.
Because we had sidewalk issues even before bikes.
Correct. I agree. And so it's only exacerbated that. Right. But our council asked us to take a different approach. And let's study it for 6 months and see the impacts. Just bear with it. I think we're at the end of that 6 month cycle. My team and staff are already working on a report out of what they've seen, what they've heard from citizens, to then come up with some regulations and guidance that we can give those companies that still want to be in that market. And so I'm hopeful that that will come in the next couple of months. So you will see some improvement that don't stifle that market, but ensure that they are doing the right kinds of things that are respectful of the visual blight as well as just the clutter.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned in the last year?
Patience and expectations don't quite line up, and that people deserve thoughtful and clear understandings of what we're doing here at City Hall. And sometimes we don't give them that because we're so ready to just solve the immediacy of the issue and we don't look downstream. But there's always this burning angst inside me that believes we can do more and should be doing more. So I've got to learn, and I've learned that I've got to throttle down my own expectations for where I want us to be.
TC Broadnax, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
This is KERA News.